What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hey, Bob here. Stick around for this. If you're not subscribed to the Shadow Docket Bonus Show on our Patreon page, you're missing out. On today's episode, Jody, David, and I welcome Sebastian Gorka to the studio, kinda, to read a comfort food recipe. Plus, we discuss the Republican delegate from Arizona who hired underage teens to run his internet troll farm, and a whole lot more. Here's how you get the Shadow Docket. Go to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Sign up for the Shadow Docket level, $5 a month, and you're all set. Again, that's patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Not great, Bob.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, May 2, 2024. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,199 of the Biden-Harris administration, 187 days until the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram at TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And those people right there, it's the Goth Ninjas. Yeah. It is Jody Hamilton. She is the showrunner for the Stephanie Miller Show. Patreon.com/Stephanie Miller Show. And sexyliberal.com for Sexy Liberal Save the World tour dates. Get the tickets while they're hot. Okay. And David Ferguson, his music project is Astral Summer. Patreon.com/Astral Summer. All right.
Hello.
Hi, Goth Ninjas. Hello. Welcome. Welcome back. It's another big Thursday. Hola to you, Jody Hamilton. Okay. So where do we start here? Christy Noem is trying desperately to clean up the mess that she's made for herself.
You know what? Fuck her and fuck her.
Oh, by the way, Jody, I saw the clip of your mom with Stephen Colbert talking about nostrils, and it made me laugh and laugh and laugh. I'm sure you're familiar with the clip already where she was talking about how people have differently shaped nostrils.
Yeah, and then she was expanding them and contracting them. Yeah,
yes.
I do that.
So is it different people's? I mean, can you have like different shape? Are your nostrils symmetrical? Because mine are not.
Mine are not.
No, but can you expand yours? Like just.
Yes, I can. You think I can't flare my nostrils as many 19th century books as I've read? That would be like me not being able to raise one eyebrow and glare.
It's just
at
like
you.
The weirdest like, muscle in your nose.
Yeah.
Like you can do that. It's the weirdest. Why is there a muscle there? Why does that happen?
Yeah, that's super weird. So we go from one of the most beloved women in America, in the world.
To one of the
right
most
now,
hated people.
To easily one of the most hated, because Christy Noem has brought both sides together to despise her. But now she's out. She's doing a mea culpa tour. She's doing a thing where, it's not a big deal. You know, the dog was a terrible dog. I did what I had to do, and it was going to.
No, she was this. We were the second place where she was going to be okay.
Here's Christy Noem with Sean Hannity last night, trying desperately to wiggle out of this.
It's like, folks, I know that your impulse here as narcissist is to be like, the solution to this problem is more me.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, no.
Right.
No.
No.
Yet.
No.
You need
no,
to like
no.
fucking
no.
like dig a hole, no. stick your head in it, and shut up for a minute. Like,
okay.
Stop digging, but Please, by all means, Governor, please all right. proceed.
Let's listen to some digging.
Well, Sean, you know how the fake news works. They leave out some or most of the facts of a story. They put the worst spin on it. And that's what's happened in
the story was extensively quoted in The Guardian. I mean, all the details about the dog being happy and the chicken and the neighbors coming by. It was all there. The gravel pit, the poor goat afterwards.
And right, then once she had her blood up, she's like, well, let me do some more killing right here.
Yeah.
Who else needs to die?
Oh, she said she had to think about it. No, she didn't. She went to the truck and fucking killed these animals.
Yeah. And so this is her trying to wiggle out of it by claiming, oh, this is fake news. It's fake news media. Just trying to distort what I wrote, you know, in my book.
In this case, I hope people really do buy this book and they find out the truth of this story.
Still hawking that book. Still trying to...
Oh, yeah. We're going to totally buy that book.
Calls to mind our Adam and Eve discussion on the Shadow Docket last week. She's got that accent.
Because the truth of this story is that this was a working dog and it was not a puppy. It was that was extremely dangerous. It had come to us from a family who had found her way too aggressive.
Oh. Oh, yeah, we were her second chance. Okay, then. It's okay that you shot her in a gravel pit, you fucking murderous piece of shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How many people, honestly, do you think have shot a dog? Like, just a rough percentage of people.
Not that many.
I think it's vanishingly rare. I think it's probably less than
like 0.001%.
And even then, people didn't. You saw Old Yeller? It was a huge deal that he shot the fucking dog at the end of the movie. Everybody cries.
Everybody cries. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had
which should be an indicator.
And Old Yeller had Governor rabies. Gnome. Rabies.
Yeah.
People are. It's a huge emotional sticky point. Like the saddest movie any of us ever saw as children.
Yeah.
Like is when the dog dies and he has to die. He has rabies. So I mean, these people are not okay.
No.
I mean, we talk about how the cruelty is the point and how they lack some kind of essential humanity that gives them any kind of compassion for other people. And I got to tell you, I work with some younger people now. I got my little job at the organic grocery store. And, like, one of them is one of these men's rights guys.
Oh, shit.
And he's constantly trying to, like, get me to engage. And I'm just like, dude, I'm not interested in this.
No.
Like, there is no reason that I don't know why I need to explain to you that you should give a shit about other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the lesson of the man versus bear thing with what women would rather be trapped in the woods is not
bear.
For you to lecture the women on how bears are dangerous.
Yeah.
It's bears are less dangerous than men in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
It's for you to understand that, like, maybe there's a reason women are more afraid of, I actually
had a program director in my radio career whose husband killed a dog for a similar reason. And so this is something that I've heard about before, and it makes it even more infuriating that Christy Noem did this for politics, or at least exploited it for politics.
Bragging exploited about it to make it some kind of point.
In order to make brownie points with Donald Trump. That's what she thought. Like, MAGA's going to love this. Donald Trump's going to just eat this up. I mean, you know, the guy hates dogs, so why not? That's what's so, I mean, in addition to the brutality of what she did, the sociopathy on display here, it's the politics that also drives me bananas. Let's get back to Christy Noem.
It was a dog that was extremely dangerous. It had come to us from a family who had found her way too aggressive. We were her second chance, and she was the day she was put down was a day that she massacred livestock that were part of our neighbors. She attacked me.
Okay, she's been trained. This dog was trained
to hunt birds.
To hunt birds, to carry birds around in its mouth. So it went over to a chicken, which also happens to be a bird, and killed the chicken.
I like how she's saying livestock because it used to sound like a fucking pony.
And she massacred a cow. And it was a massacre, David. She massacred the livestock.
Massacred livestock.
Yes.
And by the way, how did the dog get out of the truck?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Christy?
Well, it's irresponsible. She's an irresponsible parent of animals. That's exactly what the centerpiece of this is. This is all about, this has nothing to do with the dog. Has everything to do with the human being
dogging.
Who's doing a shitty job of taking care of her animals. And she just say here in a second that the dog was a threat to the kids. The kids weren't even home. The kids came home later, and she had to tell the kids later.
When the kids came home, when she's standing over the two corpses in the gravel pit.
Kendra, or whatever the fuck her daughter's name is, was like, where's Cricket?
Right. All right, let's get back into it here.
And it was a hard decision. And the reason it's in the book is because this book is filled with tough, challenging decisions that I've had to
always,
make throughout my life.
Always be promoting, right? Always
she
promote
still
that book.
Shilling the book.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she's special. Like, I mean...
How so, David? Please do tell.
I feel like that she, like, I mean, we're used to these malignant narcissists that run for office for the Republican Party. We had one as president.
Yeah.
There's one from my state who has three toes on each foot, you know. But I think that she in particular is just a droid, you know. I mean, she is like...
She's not a good droid. She's a bad droid.
No, she's like a Stepford wife, you know?
Yeah.
I was going to make you coffee.
Yeah.
Why would you do a thing like that?
She's that droid that's torturing other droids in Jabba the Hutt's basement. That's
exactly.
That's the droid she is.
But the thing that scares me about it's like this kind of species of like dead-eyed Republican woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of lipstick. Lots of hair and just eyes, black dead eyes like a doll's eyes, you know, like.
Well, she's just trying to appeal to the men's rights people who you work with, David. That's her point. That's the idea of this. She's.
It was a girl
fueling,
dog, so it needed to die. It wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't get the whole, like, I'm going to kill. I mean, I have like my.
She said she hated that dog.
Yeah.
So she used a gun to kill it, which is like, we are not. I mean, emotions and guns are like emotions and driving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you do not drive with your feelings.
Right.
You know, just like, and you don't use a gun with your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
She could have taken that dog to the pound.
Mm-hmm.
To the pound, to the vet, and have it humanely put down if she absolutely insisted on murdering it, you know.
Yeah.
Because I had friends who had a dog that attacked their kid. And they did have to put the dog down. It was a Doberman, and it just, I think it was overbred. It was never right in the head, and it like went after one of their kids, and they had to put it down. But they didn't take it outside and fucking shoot it.
In a gravel fucking pit.
Yeah.
In a gravel pit. And then she just decided to kill the goat.
Yeah, get the goat, too. She's got the taste of it.
While I'm killing.
Well, she also killed horses. I can't even imagine the bloodbath that was. It's Christy Nome out there trying to kill horses, for God's sake. Who the fuck kills horses?
Heaven's Gate all over again.
Yeah. It's insane. This is like animal mutilation and torture and death for votes, for book sales.
She's a socio-fucking-path.
Really?
I don't know. I don't have horses, but I've never heard of anyone having to put down three at once unless it was
a
hoof and mouth outbreak.
No.
Or they were
severely
neglected.
No. I have a friend that is a stabler. She runs, she owns horses. Her oldest Joe just turned 30, by the way.
Happy birthday to oldest Joe.
That's
happy
a good
Joe.
Old horse.
Happy good birthday to Joe. But it's like she would never. I mean, if one of them don't feel well and she needs to figure it out, she brings the horse vet in to put them down humanely and she will be with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the wise thing to do. If you've got no other recourse and you have to do that, you do it the humane way. Obviously,
exactly.
I still think it's awful that anyone has to put down an animal if they're not sick. And so
I agree.
If they're not dying. And so that still generates heartache for me. But if you got to do it, that's the way you do it. You don't take a shotgun and shoot it in the face. That shows a level of maliciousness that I don't understand.
Vicious, yeah.
A lack of empathy that is beyond me. Like, okay, so somehow I can kind of sort of see the point of view of a traditional hunter. I don't agree with hunting. I don't like hunting. I think it requires a stowing of empathy that I could never possibly fucking do. But this is another level. This is something entirely different. This is a gratuitous murder of a puppy with almost...
It was a family member.
Yeah.
With, oh, but Bob, she wasn't a puppy. She was 14 months old.
That's right.
Oh, come on. I've known bird dogs, and they're puppies until they're like three.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just a large breed dog, so they're larger
and
ganglier.
It's a pointer.
Yeah.
They're big, yeah. But I mean, for fuck's sake, she was in control of him. Her.
Yeah.
It was a working dog, though, Jody. What you want is, like, not all working dogs actually end up working out.
Yeah.
At their
exactly.
Church, you know, like.
And you know what? She was just, she said, it was a hard decision. No, it wasn't. You went to the truck, you brought her to the gravel pit, and that moment, that wasn't a hard decision.
Yeah.
You didn't take weeks or months or a day, even, to fucking deal with this shit.
Yeah.
No,
she
you
did
were
it
mad.
In the moment. She was pissed off. She said, I quote, I hated that dog. So fuck her and her fuckness.
I hope that people understand from this that what the point of this story is that most politicians, they will run from the truth. They will shy away and hide from making tough decisions. I don't do either of those. I tell the truth and I make tough decisions. People attacked me during COVID for keeping my state open. They called me wrong and attacked me night after night on TV for not doing mandates and not forcing people to get vaccines or wear masks. They're doing it again now.
So she's not only willing to murder puppies, but she's also willing to endanger the lives of her own constituents. Her state.
No normal human feelings on this person at all.
No, she's a sociopath.
Like, yeah.
Totally.
She's
like,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah. It requires a special lack of empathy to be able to muster the ability to do something like this, which, and as I was saying
and
before,
the whole idea of hate, killing things you hate, is not cool.
Right.
Okay. Right. We all have to, I mean, we all have hated things that we didn't kill. We hate going to the doctor. We hate, like, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, even farmers who have to kill as a matter of course when they kill their cattle and pig, you know, or
for
pigs
food.
Or chickens or whatever, it's not out of rage.
Yeah, right.
We don't kill out of anger. Responsible people do not kill out of anger.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say here. That is a really scary, like, give, I mean, that's a tell on her and who she is.
Yeah.
It is.
How she thinks. Her or what are appropriate ways to handle anger.
Yeah, and thank you for saying that, David, because that actually completed my thought from before. Like the difference between hunters and what Christy Noem did. Two different forms of a lack of empathy where at least one has some sort of non-malicious intent, or at least that's...
Exactly.
And you're
going to
eat it, allegedly. Yeah. Or, it's a trophy,
source.
Some hunters...
I don't like the trophy hunters.
No,
but
the trophy trophy hunters excluded. That's just for the pure fun of murdering often endangered animals.
Trust me, I went to a house that had that, and I was like,
yeah, fuck this.
Yeah, when I talk about hunters, I'm talking about hunters who legitimately hunt for food, and it's part of their process.
Skin them and they do the right thing.
Yeah,
and they, you know, they honor the animal that they just murdered.
Sure. And that, I think,
and they don't
on some
hate
level,
it.
Yeah.
They don't hate it.
As much as
totally emotionally neutral about it, it's just a deer.
Yeah, as much as I can't relate to that kind of mindset that
I'm
allows someone to be
I'm
able
with
to,
you, Bob.
To straight up murder an animal right in front of you is just impossible for me to imagine ever doing.
I could never do that.
Irrespective of the reason or cause, right? But on some level, I can understand that some people see that as a legitimate means of capturing and killing food, et cetera, and that's a thing. And I get that. And that's on a completely different level as to what Christy Noem was doing. Completely different level as to what trophy hunters like Don Jr. and Eric Trump do with those horrendous photos.
My name's Eric. I went to court.
I think the reason Eric showed up in court was because Lawrence O'Donnell has been just relentlessly trolling Donald Trump about his family not showing up. In fact, speaking of Jeffrey Dahmer, Lawrence O'Donnell said on his show, it was late last
week.
Even
Dahmer's parents came
Even
to court.
Dahmer's parents were there for his trial. And you know Donald Trump sees every single one of those things. But we're going to get to the court thing in a second. One last note on the Republican Party's penchant for cruelty to animals. The House Republicans voted to remove protections for endangered wolves this week. So, you know, all the while they're all condemning Christy Noem.
Sarah Palin's really happy because she can go in a helicopter again.
Yeah, yeah. So the House of Representatives on Tuesday passed a bill that would remove endangered species protections for the gray wolf across much of the country, sparking outrage among conservationists. Naturally, this legislation was sponsored by someone named Lauren Boebert, who they describe
she,
here.
She knows how to Bobert. She, you know, handy.
Speaking
days.
Of endangered, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The White House on Monday announced its strong opposition to the measure. Thank you, President Biden. Indicating a likely veto from Biden if it reaches his desk.
I don't think the Senate will approve it.
In October 2020, former President Donald Trump removed gray wolves from their protected species status, which was put in place in the 1970s after their near extinction in the continental United States. How dare us? We've caused the extinction of so many species of beautiful animals in this world. And
plants.
It's a disgusting, horrible shame upon humanity that we don't have more respect for ecology and the animals around us.
What, have you ever seen the video of wolves coming back?
Yeah.
And how that helps the ecology
of course
the planet?
It does. Of course it does. Yes.
It's an amazing video. I think it was, it was PBS or something, and then I saw it again when I visited wolves and I got to meet some wolves. Mm-hmm. I met a wolf pack. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And they showed the video and I'm like, I saw that video. And it's like wolves coming back, I don't know, helps the deer,
yeah.
helps the fish, helps everything mm-hmm. in our environment. And so making us make them extinct again?
Mm-hmm.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, well, Republicans love going in helicopters and shooting wolves from a distance. Safe distance.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah, because they're brave people.
That's manly.
Yeah, yep. Manly. Totally manly. Alpha is what they call it. Macho. A 250,000 wolves once roamed from coast to coast before European colonizers embarked on campaigns of eradication that persisted in the 20th century and all but wiped them out. Today, they number around 5,000 in the continental United States, thanks to their listing on the Endangered Species Act. Not if Donald Trump and the Republicans have anything to say about it. Yep. They'll be completely wiped out. And then he's going to go after sharks next.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, sharks will get him, by the way. Sharks will fucking get him.
Yeah. First,
he's ever gone in the ocean in his life.
Right.
Well, I mean, wolves, by the way, I've met them,
mm-hmm.
and they're not like coyotes. Mm-hmm. Coyotes are different.
Yeah.
They will want to hurt a human.
Yeah.
Wolves, on the other hand, they're like, hi.
Yeah.
What are you?
They just walk up and say, hi, hello.
Kind of.
Good day.
I made friends with a wolf. A friend of mine is.
You made
a friend of mine's husband is Native American. And they're the only people actually who are legally allowed to own full blooded wolves
mm-hmm.
yeah.
in the U.S. And they had a lady, a mama wolf,
yeah.
who was a rescue, who I think had been injured. And I don't know, she'd grown up with humans, but her name was Callie. And she was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So smart.
They're like, they're big.
So smart.
Yeah.
They're big and super smart. And I met one named Phoebe, which was the first dog I ever grew up with, by the way. And she was the leader of the pack that I met.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up to Lonnie, right up to us, and she was like sleeping. She was all cool.
Yeah.
And then all these other wolves, they were just like, as soon as they're socialized, they're cool.
Yeah.
And they will not, they're not like coyotes. Coyotes are different. They will hurt you if they
need to. Coyotes are like hyenas. They're like,
they're a little bit, they're a little bit like that. Yeah. So coyotes, I mean, you can have a trained coyote, but you'd really.
So what you're saying is we should drive the coyotes to extinction, but leave the wolves alone.
No, I don't want to drive anybody to extinction. No,
maybe Republicans.
That was a joke. Yeah, and by the way, the reason we're leading with the Kristi Noem story is not only because it's horrendous and because I love animals. I'm an animal rights guy. I think animals, especially dogs, should have a non-human personhood status in the world. And there's a whole list of other animals that I believe
cats
should have that status as well. On top of that, if this had been Hillary Clinton, who shot a puppy in the face because it was too happy.
Oh, my God.
The Republicans would still be screaming about it if it happened in 2010 or 2005 or
if it happened in 1978.
Yes.
They would still be screaming about it.
Still
I mean,
be
they
screaming
would have burned her at the stake by now.
Yes, and I refuse to give Kristi Noem a pass. Yes, I get it. It's a hard topic to talk about, and it's very hard for me. It grinds me directly at my core values as a human being. And so therefore, to emphasize this not only has a political effect, but it also has an emotional and psychological effect for those of us talking about it. Because I think the more we go over it, the more we can put it in its proper context, the more we can absorb it and grieve about it and then move on with it. But
I mean, even Marjorie Taylor Greene isn't bragging about killing animals.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. Like, that's exactly. It's an amazing thing to say. Yeah, it would be a bridge too far. Even for Marjorie Taylor Greene and
Carrie Lake showed a picture of her and her puppy.
Yeah. I mean, but Lauren
Boebert. I think whoever edited that book for the publisher hated Christina. It was like, I think we should absolutely leave that story in, Governor.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a great take. We talked about that the other day.
Oh, no. This person was like, I'm going to destroy her. This has been such a fucking nightmare helping her do this book.
I hope so.
We are going to put that in there, and it is going to end her career. I think we should put it early. It's early in the book, too.
Yeah. So,
isn't it? It's like chapter 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah. So, of course. This is one of those cases where the editor grabbed Christy Noem by the hand and said, walk this way, Christy. I'm going to show you to your propeller. Here you go. There's your propeller. Oh, there you go. Oh, there she. She fell right into the propeller.
So wet in here now.
Yeah, we're gonna sell a ton of books thanks to that propeller. Thank you so much, Christy Noem.
Yeah, no, that editor was like, I'm gonna murder you. This is the end of your career.
God, I hope so.
This is going in. I'm gonna fight for this. That's the editor's
thing. They
probably
got paid like up front. Like, I don't need any back end on this. Just pay me my fee and I'll walk away.
Yep. Okay, so next up here, that 6-week abortion ban in Florida is now officially in effect.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah,
it's been that way in Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew. So, like, if a woman in Key West needs an abortion, the closest place she can go in the continental U.S. anyway is Charlotte, North Carolina.
Wow, okay.
Jesus, that's so far.
God damn. Yeah, and of course, 12-year-olds aren't going to be able to do that.
Well, it's just a bus ride, guys. You know.
Yeah, it's just a bus ride.
It's just a 72-hour bus ride.
Yeah, Jesus. So this is on the march across the country, and Donald Trump is at all of his rallies right now going, yeah, not only is Roe v. Wade leaving it to the states, but everyone loves the fact that Roe v. Wade is gone. Even Democrats, even liberals are telling me. This is like he's now doing the thing. Like, I overheard some Democrats in a posh hipster coffee shop saying that Roe v. Wade was a disaster for the country. But meantime, the Arizona State Senate voted to repeal that 1864 ban. So it was already repealed in the House. It got repealed in the Senate. Obviously, Katie Hobbs is going to sign that repeal. However, there is an asterisk next to this story. And the asterisk is, it's going to be a while before this law is actually repealed. It doesn't go into effect.
I don't get the fucking laws go into, like, the abortion bans go into effect at like the stroke of midnight.
Yeah.
But undoing them, that's going to take several months.
Of course. Yes. That's the fuckery from the Republican Party. Okay, we got to do
and
this.
Honestly, who cares about the women whose lives and health and emotional well-being are, you know, forever altered in the meantime?
Right, right. Well, I mean, obviously, the mission is to elect Donald Trump. And so, consequently, the Republicans are like, well, I guess we got to do this. But you know what? We're going to put a little poison pill in there, too. We're going to make sure that it doesn't go into effect. And in fact, it won't go into effect until 90 days after the legislature adjourns, which will be months and months and months from now. So we're looking at like 6-7 months before this 1864 law will literally be repealed. In the meantime, even though Katie Hobbs has said she's not going to enforce this law, there will still be people caught up in the dragnet. There will still be doctors who will refuse to do abortions on people who desperately need it. There still could very easily be one or more deaths. I mean, someone was on MSNBC saying someone's going to die. And I was like, well, it's, I think we're going to be more than one person, but one person is enough. So that's still a possibility here.
One person is too many, but that's what I'm saying.
But I mean, the side of this that we don't often consider is that even with exceptions, this kind of law, and even the law in Florida, especially the law in Florida, is going to make it impossible for doctors to actually do any sort of abortions, no matter what the circumstances are, because they don't want the inquest. They don't want the legal issues. They don't want the looky-loos and the spies.
Their lawyers are going to be on them. And lawyers should not be involved with medical care.
Right, right.
No.
I mean.
But oh my God, here we are.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I guess if there is any relief in all of this, it's the fact that Donald Trump confessed while he was doing playpen talk the other day outside the courtroom. He said that he'd much rather be in states like Georgia and Florida, ones that are, quote unquote, in play. He referred to Florida as a state that is in play right now, to the point where he needs to campaign in Florida, a state that he's won twice in a row. So the very fact that Donald Trump has to campaign in Florida indicates that he's got internal polling showing that this abortion issue, among many other things, is going to cause a serious headache for him in November as far as the election goes. So
I think he's...
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I think he's going to bomb like Mondale. I think it's going to be that bad. I mean,
fingers crossed. We were talking before the show about our levels of anxiety right now. And that's got to be way up there. The election is probably second on my list of things generating anxiety. And I'm still optimistic about how it's going to turn out. I mean, the metrics are all indicating, I mean, the polling aside, and I saw a fucking Zogby poll going around today. Like, for God's sake, please don't share the Zogby poll. The Zogby poll has been bullshit for the last 15 years at least. But anyway.
Is it the Wisconsin one where Trump wins?
No. Well, Zogby had a national poll out indicating that RFK Jr. would do better against Trump than Joe Biden. If RFK Jr. was
there.
And they even had the electoral map and all that bullshit. That is 100% bullshit.
Bullshit. Bullshit. Bullshit.
It is not valid, the Zogby poll. Completely disregard. Anything that has Zogby's name on it is going to be bullshit.
Bullshit.
Right. So you can ignore that. But still, I mean, the stakes of the election are worse than they've ever been. And I feel like too many on the left are kind of losing the narrative a little bit. And we're going to talk about exactly that thing here when we come back in the context of the situation on college campuses right now in New York and California. And it's going to be one of those segments, but we got to talk about this because I'm beginning to get concerned that the violence that's happening right now is going to be counterproductive for our chances in November. Obviously.
Instigators.
Yeah.
Instigators.
Yeah.
Instigators.
Right. I don't want to get too much into it now before the break, so I'm going to stop talking and we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll get into the protests and USC, Columbia, et cetera, and Joe Biden's remarks on that, J.D. Vance's remarks, Caitlin Collins sticking it to J.D. Vance, among other things. So back with more podcast right after these words.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska!
Around and know it
yes, brand new Dream Kid. Yeah, this is a song called Daggers, his brand new single. Out now. I got a link in the description to support one of our faves here, Dream Kid. Doing this amazing throwback synthwave. I can't get enough of this. And you got to be following him on social media as well, because he does a lot of impromptu song creation there, where he's got a theme like the end credits over a buddy cop movie from 1983 would sound like this. And he plays the song. It's incredible. So, yeah, again, link in the description of bobsesca.com. Just find this episode dated 5/12/24. Click that link, scroll down, and you'll find links to support all the independent recording artists on today's show. Thank you for doing that. Okay. It seems to me like raising awareness about the very real threat to democracy should be maybe the subject of national protests against Trump. I'm just saying that there can be protests in support of the Palestinian people. I'm fine with that. There can be protests in support of the Israeli people. Fine with that, too, as long as they're peaceful protests.
Absolutely.
However, I'm a little concerned that we're losing the narrative here. I mean, democracy is on the ballot in November. And when we say democracy is on the ballot, I'm wondering if that kind of framing is even resonating with people. Almost like saying, like the Peanuts adults just going, and that's what people hear. I mean, we're talking about endless tyranny, where Donald Trump becomes president, and then he doesn't leave office, and then he abuses that power to do all kinds of horrible things that will entirely destabilize the United States and probably the globe around us.
Yes.
So what we're talking about here.
I don't know that I see.
Yeah,
the dissatisfaction on campuses translating to thinking that the Trump administration is going to be better on these issues.
Right.
But in terms of just like who's voting for what and the kind of disenchantment people are having with the current administration's Israel policy, I don't think that there's a through line to not or to voting for Trump and to Trump winning the election.
Well, I mean, what I'm wondering is if the violence is going to generate support for Donald Trump, who claims to be the law and order president, despite the fact that he's on trial in four different venues. And
did it work in 2020?
Well,
because that was a violent ass summer. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, but the protests were against conservatism specifically. I mean, we're talking about protests, BLM protests after George Floyd that were geared toward
white nationalism.
Well, it was geared toward police violence. It was geared around civil rights, which is typically a left issue. And therefore, the target of those protests was conservative governance, people like Donald Trump, people like the Republican Party. And so that's where. But right now, you've got protesters on college campuses chanting "fuck Joe Biden,"
Palestinian and Israeli,
yeah,
together.
Well, there was one protest that I saw yesterday where I think Aaron Rupar shared the video, where on one side of this square on this college campus, on one side you had pro-Trump people chanting "fuck Joe Biden," and the camera pans over and it's a pro-Palestinian group also chanting "fuck Joe Biden."
Yep.
And so, to me, the consequence of that is elevating Donald Trump. When you're talking about fuck Joe Biden, what you're also saying is then, therefore, what's the alternative? Well, it's Donald Trump. Or at the very least, it's we're not going to vote at all in this election, or we're going to write in a third party candidate like RFK Jr. or whoever. And so this, to me, directly affects the ability of the Democrats to get a foothold, at the very least, with young people. And so, plus the law and order thing generates more anti-democratic sentiment. So, yeah. Well, so
David.
So, David, yes.
I don't feel like this translates to thinking that Trump is going to do a better job. And I don't think those people voted last time anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like I just young Gen Z on that level is kind of, I mean, there's a slice of, you know, Joe Rogan listening, like apathetic Gen Z that's never going to vote anyway.
Mm. That's kind of true. I mean,
and there's people on the far left, you know, the Michael Tracy's of the world that were never. I mean, I don't see this becoming. I mean, the Democrats would have to go out of their way to jump into this wood chipper, I feel like, because the other side is so bad on these. It's so much worse that I don't see people being quite as stupid in that particular calculus I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You have to remember, like, Trump never in his entire presidency topped 45-46% of approval.
I feel like it's an all hands on deck situation, and any group that we lose as far as support goes is damaging in a time. And I'm always saying this, so listeners, you can say this along with me. In a time when elections are decided by 1 or 2 percentage points, that could generate the difference in one swing state or one precinct or somewhere that would cause a critical mass electing Donald Trump then. And
if
and so
only the Electoral College would be gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get that. This is not going to be one of the things that I'm going to allow to keep me up at night.
Well,
for the next 6 months, you know, it's just not. It's
not Vietnam. Yeah. It's not Vietnam. This is not our war. It's somebody else's fucking war. And that asshole just wants to keep it going to get Trump back in office. So fuck Netanyahu, fuck Hamas.
Thank you, Jody. And I hope you're right that it's not really going to have any effect electorally whatsoever.
I'm saying that it might be statistically invisible.
Okay.
It's
the same thing. Yeah.
Well, but also there's just enough real life shit that could hit me in the face in the next 6 months that particular thing, I'm like, that's going to be, I'm going to let that be an illusion and just stay in over there in that category.
Yeah.
Until it's like actually like happened, I can't worry about that.
Well, it's difficult to know exactly how this will affect the election because obviously we can't trust the polls. And I think the blindness that we have, the inability to kind of forecast using all the metrics at our disposal, we have to discount a lot of what we're seeing as far as polling numbers go. And that's what's causing me some anxiety because I used to rely on the polls to kind of give me a sense of where the national temperature was. Like, say, okay, does it seem like we're leaning in this direction? Does it seem like the momentum is going toward a Democratic victory in November? I don't know how people in swing states, swing voters, are perceiving these protests. All I know is what the precedent is that we've seen, which is at one point when there were these kinds of protests, which will probably happen at the Chicago convention in August. And so I can't help but to think back to 1968 and what happened in Chicago there and how that damaged the Democratic Party. I mean, talk about the Democrats in disarray thing. I mean, that amplified it. And we know what was the cause of it. We know the people who were responsible for the violence that took place outside the 1968 convention. And they will probably be there again. I mean, Jody, you said before the break, there's probably instigators in these crowds who are generating a lot of the violence for malicious reasons, for counterproductive reasons, for reasons of damaging
Trump supporters.
Yeah. Damaging Democrats.
And this is the other thing that I don't think protesters are not completely naive. Mm. They've done a lot of marching over the last few years and they know, you know, like they know like these people are trying to make trouble. Yeah. I remember there was a demonstration downtown and Governor Kemp, you know, old Brian had the National Guard like right at the edge of town waiting to come roaring in and take over downtown Athens. And there were agitators there, people who were trying to achieve that outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who were actually part of the Democratic groups here in Athens and the grassroots groups cleared out of downtown and were like, nope. We're noping it the fuck out of here. We see what you're trying to do.
Been there, done that, too,
and
here.
And we have a strategy for it because we thought ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we're as naive as we were as a country and as a group, a protest movement, as we were in 1968.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good point. I think as I observe these things, though, I go back to my original point, which is that as I observe these protests and specifically the violent, chaotic ones, I think about, good God, knowing what we know about what a second Donald Trump term would look like, where are the protests against that? Where are the protests to raise awareness about what's going to happen? And that would be the purpose of those protests. It would be a matter of making sure that voters are educated about Donald Trump's plans for his second term and what that will mean for not just people who follow politics, but for all of us, because the destabilization of this country means economic calamity, means civil rights calamities, means body autonomy calamities.
And all of us getting arrested.
Well, I mean, part of what's happening on campuses, though, I mean, they're not just protesting the war. They're protesting the fact that a chunk of their tuition is going to buy munitions in this war.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, and that's what, you know, the people on Fox News are completely omitting from the narrative.
Yeah.
Is that, like, they're not just there to protest American involvement in Israel's policy.
Divest.
It's the fact that, like, their tuition money, which they are going into debt to spend, is financing companies that invest in these wars. And so, like, it's complicated. But and protesting against a second Trump term is an abstraction that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
It's like protesting against white privilege.
Yeah.
It's like that's, I mean, it is a thing, but it's not, it's like a condition, not a specific act of violence.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I find that, yeah. And I find that frustrating. And I get it. And it's a realistic take, David. But I think it's frustrating because the context for those protests would end up having to be after it's too late then. Because if the protest is reacting to Donald Trump's tyranny, then that would have to happen after Donald Trump has already seized office and is doing his worst. And then at that point, it's too late. Donald Trump is deploying the military to shoot protesters, to arrest protesters, to deport protesters. And then... God damn it. Talk about squelching free speech and free assembly. I mean, the effect of that will be enormous. Yeah.
I think women are fired up enough that they're going to the polls regardless.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's just like the whole idea of, you know, going to bed on Tuesday and waking up on Wednesday with fewer rights. That's not a thing that America is used to doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's you know, that's marching backwards into history, which I don't, that's not our way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's enough women are fired. I mean, like I said, enough women are fired up and pissed off that I feel like they're coming to the polls. And I just
Republican women
are pissed off.
My thing though is priorities. You know, I'm trying to at least use whatever teeny tiny platform I have to kind of realign those priorities a bit. And you know, obviously, unless other people join in, it's a futile effort, but I feel like I got to at least try. I got to look at myself in the mirror and sleep at night after this is all over if it goes the wrong way and say, well, you know, I did what I could to warn people. And so there's at least that teeny tiny shred of comfort.
Do you know
Spanish?
There's
something we absolutely can do, though.
Yeah.
Is write to the ombudsman of the New York Times, write to the ombudsman of National Public Radio, write to the ombudsman of MSNBC and say, I'm really disappointed with the way you're covering this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is life or death for democracy. You guys need to start using the F word for fascism. We should just like publish that like at the end of each show or at least at some point during the show. We should. Here's the ombudsman's email address for NPR, for the New York Times. Like, because part of why people don't feel the urgency of the situation is because the media is desperate to sell it as normal.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the real targets we need to have right now are the people who are dictating and steering the coverage. Mm-hmm. And if enough public pressure comes to bear on legacy media, they might finally turn the ship a degree or two.
Yeah. What about some protests outside the New York Times building in New York? Maybe that would be applicable. Maybe that would be a good use of time. You know, that's one way to get a message to A.D. Sulzberger, A.G.
Cards
Sulzberger.
And letters and emails
and
cancel subscriptions. That's really where we need to go.
Yeah.
Let's do that. By the next episode, I'm going to bring you guys the email addresses, at least, of the ombuds persons.
Yeah.
Of various news organizations so that we can start trying to impact coverage.
Do that.
Because that's what's really going to move the needle.
Yeah, do that. Let's do that. Let's do that next Thursday. Sounds good. Yeah. In the meantime, here's Donald Trump just yesterday at his rally. Listen to this. This is the guy where at all of his rallies so far, at least in the last week or so, there haven't been any pro-Palestinian protesters outside of Donald Trump's rally. So let's listen to this that isn't getting any protest.
But it should be no surprise that in addition to the millions and millions of people invading our country from the border,
Crooked Joe is now reportedly planning, this is wonderful news for you people in Wisconsin, to bring massive numbers of Gazans from the Middle East.
No.
All live to your American towns, your towns and villages.
Villages.
Your towns and villages.
Making this up.
Yeah, well, of course he is, but you know what?
Villages.
Yeah, listen, it's actually making him chuckle a little bit, and Donald Trump never laughs. And right. This is, he's so excited about this because he knows he can continue to lie about it and demagogue it. So let's get back into it.
Accepting people from Gaza, lots of people from Gaza. And various other places, Yemen, lots of other places. You know, just let the world simmer down a little bit, please. He's now delivering thousands. He just announced last night he's going to deliver thousands of people to a town near you. Joe Biden seems to determine to create the conditions for an October 7th style attack right here in America. It's going to happen with all of these
people. All right, I'm going to stop there. You get the idea, right? You get the idea that, okay, there's protesters.
He's a lying sack of shit.
On college campuses right now chanting, fuck Joe Biden, and using the epithet Genocide Joe. And this guy, who fucking hates the Gazans and will probably carpet bomb Gaza right alongside Benjamin Netanyahu.
In a New York minute.
Yeah, on top of arresting what he considers to be pro-Hamas protesters and deporting them, this is the guy who's not being protested at all. At all. By anyone who's pro-Palestinian, pro-Muslim, pro-Arab.
No. Nope.
Just not happening. I don't know why. Well, I think I know why. It has a lot to do with lack of priorities. Yeah.
It's just because it's like they're not going to get any attention there. They know that's useless. It's
maybe.
Standing and screaming.
Oh, you know why,
digging
David?
Into an open hole.
David?
Yeah?
It's basically because most of this shit is done by the Russians, the Chinese.
Mm. Yeah, that too.
The Saudis. This is all that. Otherwise, if actual pro-Palestinians really wanted to protest, they would protest that motherfucking vagina-necked motherfucker. I'm sorry.
You're in a mood today, Jody.
I'm just kind of loving this.
Yeah.
You're like extra spicy.
Yeah,
so I am in a mood.
As soon as you start, I just like kind of sit back and I go, I'm just going to enjoy this. Take a sip of my coffee and just take it all in.
Seriously, I mean, if these motherfuckers really knew what that motherfucker would do to their cause, they would protest him.
Well, meantime, here's so-called...
I think it's the same reason that, you know, back in Blogosphere 1.0, like the purity police would come harass us in the comment section of our blogs instead of going and bothering Glenn Beck.
Right.
Or somebody.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
You're right.
You know, it's because they know that they actually can get some traction from us because we're supposedly on the same side. So,
Yeah, I get that. You know, look, I hope the protesters will, and they don't have to tell anybody they're going to do it, but I hope they do end up voting in this election and voting the right way. I mean, again, you can use your leverage and not mention who you plan to vote for. Just use the optics of the protests to, you know, push Joe Biden in the direction you want him to go. But at the end of the day, the logical thing to do, the self-preservational thing to do is to vote for Joe Biden. Again, you can keep it quiet. You can keep it hush hush. You don't have to tell. But still do it. Here's by the way, speaking of Joe Biden, he had some remarks this morning. I think it was this morning, wasn't it, Jody? Talking about the protesters.
Soon.
Yes, it was. It was. Let's just say it's recent. Here's the president in the White House sometime in the last, let's say, 24 hours.
Let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest.
Yes.
It's against the law.
Yes.
Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Dissent is essential to democracy. But dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. President. You know, and then
he's not wrong.
Conversely,
he's not.
Conversely, Donald Trump is on, well, not on record, literally, but Mark Esper is... Is it Mark Esper? God, I'm suddenly blanking on his first
name. Mark Esper. Mark Esper. That's his name.
Yes, is on record as saying that Donald Trump wanted to shoot protesters in Lafayette Square.
Yes.
And of course, Bill Barr's excuse is, well, he didn't do it, so it must be okay.
You know, we had people to protect him.
No sweat. I mean,
we got it stopped. And then Caitlin Collins was like, wait, because it stopped?
Yeah. He talks a big game. I mean, classic Trump. Fuck that guy, too, by the way. Yeah, and speaking of Caitlin Collins, she stuck it to J.D. Vance on CNN yesterday.
I'm falling in love with her.
This is amazing. Yeah, let's listen.
I mean, imagine like just all the J.D. Vance kind of guys that she's had to fend off and take her hands off her ass her whole life.
I bet.
Very true.
So she's got no time for him. I can't wait to hear
that. I love the look on her face every now and then when she goes,
Yeah, with the eyebrows, yeah.
But you can't police people for being anti-Israel or pro-Israel. You can police people for violating the law. And we have seen some of that with some of these protests.
Okay, so you agree that people who break in and vandalize a building should be prosecuted?
Exactly.
Okay, I'm just checking because you did help raise money for people who did so on January 6th.
On January 6th, yes!
Impeding an official proceeding, breaking into a building that they weren't allowed to be in and vandalizing the Capitol.
Well, Caitlin, I know that this is the obsession of the national media to talk about what happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2006.
It's not an obsession. I'm just seeing if it's a double standard.
Let me answer the question, Caitlin. I mean, look, here's my basic.
So you start using her name, and it's like that abuser dynamic.
Yeah,
you
know? Right.
It's so condescending.
Yeah.
Go to prison if you violated the law. You should suffer the consequences. But there are people who protested on January the 6th who have had the complete weight of the Justice Department thrown at them
violated the law?
Yeah, for smearing shit on the walls of Congress.
Literally shitting in our hall, on our government. Yeah. You know, like, I mean,
murdering DC police officers, trying to crush them to death. But just to put an end cap on the discussion about the threat to democracy and what Trump plans to do, here is the great Jimmy Kimmel on his show the other night. And thank God for Kimmel and Colbert saying what needs to be said to national audiences on network television. This is beautiful.
All true, what I'm about to inform you. This, he says he would carry out a deportation operation to remove more than 11 million people from the country. He says he would use the military to build migrant detention camps. He would let red states monitor women's pregnancies and prosecute those who violate abortion bans. He would, at his personal discretion, withhold funds appropriated by Congress. He would fire any U.S. attorney who wouldn't carry out his order to prosecute. He's weighing pardons for everyone who attacked the Capitol January 6th. He said he might not come to the aid of an ally in Europe or Asia if he felt that country wasn't paying enough. He would gut the civil service. He would close the White House Pandemic Preparedness Office and staff his administration only with those who believe the election was stolen from him. And when they asked about dictatorship, he said, I think a lot of people like it. And he's on the cover of Time magazine. He should be on the cover of Doing Time magazine.
Well said. Outstanding. So, yeah, a little bit of counterbalance there. I'm so glad to hear it because obviously the political.
It's so good
because
you're like, okay, I'm not crazy, right?
Exactly.
You know, right.
Like,
right.
Someone else hears this and goes, this is absolutely unreasonable, right?
Yeah. And to me, when I said counterbalance, I meant a counterbalance to the political press, which is just completely dropping the ball on all this shit. You know, the people who are informed, people who actually read newspapers every day, 70% of them are voting for Joe Biden in November.
And
amazingly, once people find out what is going on, they lean toward Joe Biden, of course.
Yeah.
But
what surprises me is that Fox News is so in the basket still because they know that just a flick of his temper, you know, if he gets reelected, can just like destroy them. And they go in and out of favor with him, you know, depending on how they're treating him on a daily basis. But they're still just, you know, I guess they don't know how to do anything else.
By the way, I got into a little back and forth with Sarah Kendzior today. I regret to say it because I generally like Sarah. She's been on the show before. In fact, her interview on the show is one of the most listened to episodes of this podcast. I don't mind saying. But I posted my latest article for the Banter newsletter, thebanter.substack.com, and it was all about what we've just discussed, about where are the pro-democracy protests? And I said, I posted a little blurb, which was, I can't figure out exactly why there isn't a constant presence of pro-democracy demonstrators everywhere Trump goes. There's certainly plenty of inciting reasons for it, but it's just not happening. And then I linked to the piece. And then Sarah Kendzior responded by saying, Trump is a career criminal who committed sedition. There are institutions whose job it is to hold him accountable, and they refuse to do it. Why do you think it is the responsibility of protesters instead of officials to handle sedition and organized crime? In your imaginary scenario, whom would these protesters be trying to influence? Because the logical answer would be the officials in power now, the officials allowing Trump and his criminal backers to thrive. Well, first of all, I didn't say protesters instead of officials. I
feel like that's kind of a false dichotomy.
Yeah, I wasn't saying this should be about protesters and not officials doing the right thing. That was, I think, pretty clear in the piece. So I was curious about that. And I said, the point of the protests would be to, as I said before, amplify public awareness to make sure everyone knows what's on the ballot this November. And it is democracy or not democracy. That's what we're talking about here. And so that was my quote unquote imaginary scenario, which I don't know. But I mean, I get it. Officials need to hold Donald Trump accountable. I'm not opposed to that. I don't know why it was framed that way by Sarah, but obviously I'm into Donald Trump being held legally accountable. I think Judge Mershon has given Donald Trump way too much latitude. I'm on record about all of this shit. Again, it's not an either or scenario. And that's exactly how I was very civil in replying to Sarah. I wasn't antagonistic in any way, but I just explained what I just explained. So that's how that all went down. I was just like, I was concerned because she misframed what I was saying, and that kind of irritated me. But anyway.
No, that's an irritating thing to have somebody do.
Yeah. I mean, totally.
Kind of, yeah. So I would have probably just popped off and been an asshole about it. So you did better than me.
Well, one last break. And when we come back, turns out Republicans are, among many other things, pro-cancer. The Republicans now are okay with cancer continuing to be a thing. We'll talk about that and more right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. Just vote. We just have to show up. We just have to say to ourselves, listen, I know people who don't pay attention to the news. I know who they are. They're not bad people. They just, they don't care about the future as much as we do. So what we're going to do for them is we're going to make sure that they go and vote, and we're going to make sure that they understand who they're voting for and why. Just 5 minutes before the election, we're going to actually say, listen, it's time to get registered. You are registered, right? Right. Well, if you're not, let's do it right now. We're going to go to Rock the Vote, the good old fashioned way. Okay. And we're going to get you registered. Okay. And then you're going to vote. You're going to vote by mail. I'll help you. Or we're going to go vote together in person, whatever you want. That's what we have to do. That's what we owe each other. It is. It's what we owe each other. It's what we owe to our children. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska, plays more music.
I belong to the mic.
I know you want me.
got to be Freak Bass. It's Freak Bass, right? Freak
oh, yes, Bass. Of course it's Freak Bass. Yeah, it's a brand new Freak Bass single. Yeah. I know
I
you
hear
do.
Music and I automatically feel like I should be wearing a silver pair of roller skates and like giant sunglasses. No! It's Freak Bass.
Gotta love Super Xanadu right now.
Gotta love Freak Bass. Yeah, it's so good. Again, there's a song
like
called
all of a sudden we're all covered in Diglo body paint and the black lights on. You know?
Mirror ball has come down in the studio and
I have a mirror
lights.
Ball.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. Where'd you get this ecstasy, Bob? I feel amazing. Oh my god.
Yeah. All right. Shit. You got to follow Freak Bass on the TikTok. He does a live show every damn night for hours and hours and hours. And of course, he's wonderful. Make sure to get this single right now. Again, go to bobseska.com. Find this episode dated 5/2/24. Click the link, scroll down, and start download. Expand your record collection with all the Freak Bass singles. And while you're there, get the brand new Dream Kids single, too, called Daggers. Got links
Man,
for that.
That's my favorite, I think. It's good. I'm getting that one in particular. That's going to be a workout.
He's so music. Good. Yeah, and in fact, a lot of these songs emerge out of his live jams every night. Where
he's
just
great.
He's in his Freak Bass lair. He's got a mirror ball and everything, and he's got his Freak Bass costumes and his glasses and... It's amazing. Freak Bass is one of the best of the best. Okay. Man.
The place I work now mm-hmm. is one of those UFO buildings from the 70s or like late 60s. It's like round
yeah.
and has like the kind of, what do you call it? Help me out here. Pavilion kind of roof.
Oh, I see. Like, yeah, okay.
Like a no one speaks vaulted, of pavilions yeah. anymore. This saddens me. That's yeah.
It's,
yeah.
it's a pavilion line, roof. I yeah. understand that.
I always wanted something to make it into a club. Like tables around the outside and like where the cash registers are now would be the DJ booth and be a mirror ball. It would be perfect. But no, it's a hippie grocery store, but okay.
You know what I've been thinking about making a pilgrimage to is the Neil Peart Pavilion at Lakeside Park in Hamilton, Ontario.
What?
Yeah.
Well, first off, it has my last name, so you got to go there.
That's exactly. Yes. You know what, Jody? That hadn't even occurred to me until you just said it. But yes, I should go there. I'll take a picture of the sign, too, and send it to you. Welcome to
Please
Hamilton,
do.
Ontario. Yeah.
Oh, no, I have a literal like lead mm-hmm. sign that says Hamilton. I think it was from somewhere in Los Angeles that my dad pulled off.
Nice.
And he of like gold he plated it. I don't think it's gold actually, but it's just as Hamilton, and I have it in our guest house or in our pool house. It's like Hamilton.
Right. Yes.
I got my brother a Ferguson Tractors hat.
See?
Oh, so cool. Yeah. 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 Oh, and by the way, I should just mention, I always want to mention every time you bring up your dad. Those of you who are unaware of Joe Hamilton, go do a deep dive into Joe Hamilton and who he is and what he did. One of the coolest motherfuckers in the history of television. Just go and study and
You
click.
Think Jody's mom is cool. Yeah. You're a poser. Her dad is a really cool one.
I mean, just ask Paul Anderson.
Paul Thomas Anderson thinks that Joe Hamilton is the coolest motherfucker that he ever encountered. I mean, he describes, yes, he used to go and hang out at the pool. Like he and his family, Ernie Anderson,
yeah. Winna at the time. Mm-hmm. Paul.
To me, just
Paul.
Like what a Renaissance man. He could sing, he could dance, he could produce, he could direct. You know. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah.
And by the way, nowadays you're like young at 30, mm-hmm. but back in the day, in the 1950s, mm-hmm. when you were only 30 years old and executive producing a television show,
yeah,
that was unheard of.
Yeah,
you were an infant. Yeah.
So he had his shit together, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Also, what
and
I'm
he
saying.
Was, yeah. He was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now I've lost track of what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
It doesn't matter. It's my dad. What does it matter?
The great Joe Hamilton.
We were talking about Hamilton, Ontario.
Yeah.
Where
Pavilion. There's a Neil Peart Pavilion in Hamilton and dedicated to the late, great Neil Peart. Yes, yes. Okay, so real quick, a couple more things here before we wrap up the show. Yes, we're still on the free portion of the show. More dings! So it turns out Republicans are pro-cancer.
Yeah.
The spending package that Congress passed back in March didn't re-up the Cures Moonshot money that dried up at the end of last year. Biden's, one of his many signature achievements, which is this anti-cancer moonshot.
Because Marjorie Taylor Greene's a walking tumor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They can't get it cured because then they'd lose their majority in the House.
Right, right. So they cut off the moonshot's most direct funding stream, according to Politico. How do you rationalize that? Like, fuck it. We're not going to try to, we're not even bother to try to cure cancer because we, you know, we'd much rather slash spending. You know what? It's not about slashing spending at all. I take that back. It's entirely about screwing Joe Biden.
Exactly.
Not giving Joe Biden any wins. And who cares how many people die of cancer? That's exactly what Donald Trump's thinking was at the beginning of COVID.
Yep.
Screw it. I don't care how many people die. I mean, I can't give Joe Biden any leeway here.
Oh, no, blue states were dying,
yeah.
So fuck them.
Right, right. So Donald Trump...
None of these... It's all, like, chess pieces to them. It's, you know, we're all just collateral damage if something... And, like, the women who desperately need to end their pregnancies because they're having an ectopic pregnancy or, you know, something is deadly wrong with the fetus, but they can't. They're just, you know...
It's all about the political endgame. That's all they care about.
Yep.
So, meantime, Trump's second contempt hearing happened today. Among many other things, Buzz Burbank has been following this closely, offering up updates all over Twitter. He said prosecutors are presenting 4 documents alleging Trump violations of the gag order. Trump's lawyers will present 500 documents in his defense. The first alleged violation is Trump accusing the jury of being 95% Democrats. The second involves public praise of witness David Pecker. Jesus fucking Christ. And in addition to all of that, Todd Blanche said in court in front of Donald Trump as he's reading tweets about Donald Trump, he actually said the word von Schitzenpants.
Yeah, he so had to, that was it's, you know, it's in the record.
Yes, of course, because that is now right. It's now in the court record. Von Schitz's pants. That's, of course, a description of Donald Trump, in case you're unaware.
This is the only thing that worries me about the contempt.
Mm-hmm.
The contempt hearings, I'm just worrying that the lawyers are going to decide this is another way to slow it down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the only thing. If we get too caught up in this, the trial itself.
Well, they're ahead of schedule. I mean, they're ahead of schedule with the trial, which means Donald Trump can go to Barron's graduation, which he probably won't go to.
The first of his kids' graduations that he's ever gone to.
Right.
I think he might have gone to Eric's in 2002.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to have to show up at Barron's. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's you lied to the court. So
I'm going to read Jake Tapper's remarks.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
When he had to report. I don't have the audio, but I'm just going to read the transcript of what Jake Tapper said when he had to report von Schitzenpants. So Tapper says, funny. Okay, I apologize for this update ahead of time, but Todd Blanche, the Trump attorney, is specifically reading a post that Michael Cohen made on Twitter on April 22nd, and one in which he refers to Donald Trump as von Schitzenpants. That is just a factual record that I'm bringing before you. This is in.
God bless Jake Tapper for just going on.
I can just see his face. It looked like he probably bit a pickle, you know?
Yes.
I have a feeling he gleed in that.
This is in the court transcript, he said. Von Schitzenpants. Blanche also said there are repeated attacks on Trump and his candidacy on Cohen's podcast and TikTok account. Then Dana Bash said, I know you want to weigh in on von Schitzenpants.
Well, Dana Bash really had to say that.
But she's not paying attention because he already did weigh in on von Schitzenpants. By the way, I'm going to say von Schitzenpants many more times. In fact, I'm regretting not leading the show with this story so we could work von Schitzenpants into.
I think the
no, it's good to go out. On okay.
I think
note.
The title of the show is von Schitzenpants.
Yes, well, it's obviously the title of today's show. So Dana Bash said.
I'm hearing it to the tune of Edelweiss now. Von Schitzenpants.
Schitzenpants. Von Schitzenpants.
Now I feel like I'm in a cafe in 1939. Like, shit, there they go. The fucking brown shirts are singing their songs again.
Yeah. So in response to Dana Bash, Jake Tapper says, just for the record, I've been calling it Von Poopsenpants for weeks now. But now it's part of the official transcript. So thank you, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, for entering both Von Schützenpants into the news media's coverage, but also Von Poopsenpants, which is the...
I love the more FCC.
Tamer variation. Yes, the more childish variation. It's so funny to me that on television you can say Von Poopsenpants with more leeway than you can Von Schützenpants. It all means the same thing, that Donald Trump allegedly shits in his pants. That's what this is about. It's all about...
Well, cable can get more with Von Schützenpants, but...
Right, Noel Kassler, right, entered this
everybody
idea.
Everybody else on broadcast cannot get way with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Then go Von Poopsenpants, or...
I just want to know what you guys are going to get me for a Von Schützenpants day.
There is that one flower that smells like shit that we can get you.
Yes. We've got to start that as a thing. We've got to make that a national holiday, Von Schützenpants Day.
It should be.
Yeah.
Saint Von Schützenpants.
Well, you know, Trump's attorneys, Todd Blanche and the rest of the idiots that decided to take on Donald Trump as a client, they've been trying to use different things to keep him awake. Like giving him like fake papers, like pretend papers to deal with. You know, trying to just stir him out of his slumber there in the courtroom.
Like jingle some keys or like shiny.
That's right.
I'm thinking give him that placemat that you give children
at the IHOP.
At the IHOP, you know, with the crayons. So he can just, you know, do the maze or something. You know, that's what I would give him.
That's what I mean. If I had to sit there all day, which I admittedly would be very hard for me to glue
it's
my
difficult.
Ass to one chair for a whole day.
It's difficult.
While people are
it's,
talking about boring shit, I would be having to just furiously take notes, like almost verbatim of whatever everybody was saying, so that I could stay awake the whole time. Because
it's not easy to stay up in 8 hours sitting down. It's
let's
not.
Just take a moment to enjoy. This is, I mean, probably the first time since primary school that Donald Trump has had to nail his ass to a chair for any significant amount of hours of any day and not be able to run the conversation or be like, this is boring. Let's go do something else. Let's call someone who thinks I'm awesome and put him on speakerphone.
Yeah.
Or let's, you know, like something. Because, I mean, he has no mental discipline whatsoever.
No
ability to concentrate or, like, be awake. I mean, there's just nothing. It's like he's 12.
Right.
You know, and you know he stayed up all night the night before, like talking on the phone to Roger Stone or whoever.
12? That seems old.
They just need an air horn. The bailiff should bring an air horn. If Donald Trump falls asleep again, just right into his ear to say.
Yeah. Or just give the whole jury vuvuzelas, you know?
Mr. Trump. Like
what happened?
Or just get it, like one of those shock collars that they use.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good.
That would be better. Just put it on his wrist so we don't see it. Like the jury doesn't have to see it.
Yeah.
But like his lawyers go, you're
right,
up.
Right. Yeah. One of those cruel electronic collars that Kristi Noem used on her dog. Just put that on Trump.
There goes. Oh, she wasn't even that nice.
I would love that. If we could just, anytime Trump starts, like, if that would be the thing, like, don't send him to prison. Put a shock collar on him that'll go off every time he tells a lie.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you could use the shock collar and the air horn at the same time, maybe. Just get him with both things.
By the end of the week, if we really did have a shock collar, he would be like a microwaved hot dog. You know, I mean, it was just.
He already looks like a microwaved hot dog. That's what his skin looks like. If you put a hot dog in the microwave too long, it gets all wrinkly and explodes a little bit.
Yeah, and blisters kind of brownish in places.
That's such a better way to describe it, the hot dog blisters.
Blisters.
Yeah. By the way, I have a question for our resident legal expert.
Jody.
Jody, yes.
Hi.
Jody, yes, please.
Law and order degree.
Yes.
Please approach the bench.
Yes. Is being found in contempt technically breaking the law?
Yes.
It is. So if so, he violated the conditions of his D.C. and Fulton County bail.
Yes.
Because he broke the law.
Yes.
So he should be found in contempt there too and jailed.
Yeah.
In both of those venues.
One would think, but right now New York is constrained with the $1,000 things until the judge is pissed.
Yeah, but it's still, he broke the law in New York, mm-hmm. which means he violated his bail terms in D.C. and Fulton County.
Yes. Yes.
Crickets.
We will ask Mr. Kirshner tomorrow on the Ms. Miller show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he totally violated so many laws.
Yeah. Oh, you want to hear him glitching out on the word infrastructure?
Oh, God, I heard that.
Sure.
Let's leave everyone with this.
Well, $1.2 trillion for their fake infrastructure. Sure, infrastructure. You take
what
a look at
fuck?
It.
Infrasucker.
What?
David's reaction.
Infrastructure.
I want to hear this one more time. Just don't talk until after he's recovered from the glitch.
Well, $1.2 trillion for their fake infrastructure. Sure, he had a package of infrastructure. You take a look
oh
at it.
Oh, my God.
It's fake. It's fake.
And, well, he says the infrastructure package is fake. No, it's quite real.
It's not real.
Like the piles of papers you had on your infrastructure day announcement. That's remember he had all those piles of paper behind him on the tables when he announced the first infrastructure week, and they were all blank. Like,
but you meant to say it's not infrastructure week. It's infrastructure repair week. Whatever.
Infrastructure.
Fake infrastructure. Sure, power. He had a.
Infrastructure.
I got your package of infrastructure right here, buddy.
I don't even know what he said. Infrastructure.
Yeah, something in there. The word para or the prefix para was in there somewhere, too.
Something like that. Something like that.
Jesus. Yeah, he was at a very windy.
On a bar of soap.
He did an.
David, no.
The
Bob Seska Show denounces everything that David just said.
We do not condone the use of violence in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you.
Yes.
Choked to death on a bar of soap. How is that violent? Dude to himself, you know.
Why is he putting soap in his mouth to wash his mouth out?
We're going to send him like soaps that look like little hamburgers.
David Louise Ferguson, stop the violence.
Bubblegenius.com if you want soap in the shape of a little hamburger.
I love 700, by the way.
Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., 00287.
Don't do that. Just go to get your own hamburger soap if you want it.
I have it.
Yeah.
I love Bubble
Genius.
Buy a soldier
a shower.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. If you're buying soap, you got to buy your soap from bubblegenius.com.
Absolutely. Yes. They're amazing.
Gotta love Paula Bonham at Bubble Jesus. I just called it Bubble Jesus. That's a different website.
That's our album title, I think.
Bubble Jesus. I remember, you know, because back when Chez was on the show, there was a period of time in which the show was known as the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
I know.
And Dan Bidondi thought that we were referring to ourselves
as geniuses?
Bubble Genius. He didn't realize that it was a sponsor like the Texaco Star Theater, like they used to do in the 50s and 60s, where the sponsor was in the name of the show. He thought that we were saying that me and Chez are bubble geniuses for some reason. Like, that makes any sense at all. Like, what the fuck is a... Yes, as a retailer for soap, I get the name Bubble Genius. As a description for a couple of podcasters... Doesn't make any sense except in Dan Bidondi's.
Maybe it's a Japanese pop band, you know?
K-pop, that's what it is. Okay, Shadow Docket coming up next. Sebastian Gorka is going to be here to read comfort food recipes. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Sign up for $5 a month and get the Shadow Docket twice a week, every Tuesday and Thursday. Thank you for listening. If you're a free show listener, you can go home now. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.